Thank you for tuning in to Cross and Crown Baptist Church. For more information about our church and service times, check out www.crossandcrownbaptist.org. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles and open your hearts to the preaching of God's Word.
And here we have one phrase that's so important. Psalm 23, in the first half of the first verse, is what we'll focus on. We started last week a study on the names of God. And we focused the entire message on Jehovah. And we equated that synonymously with another term that we use these days. And does anyone recall what it was? Jehovah means my Redeemer. My God who came and sacrificed His life for us. The Jehovah God is the judge of all sin, and He is the rewarder of those that believe in Him. He redeems us. Praise God for Jehovah. But here we have not necessarily the name Jehovah with shepherd, but there's synonymous here, and David is trying to teach us this in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord, that's Jehovah, is my shepherd. We're going to be looking at several of these names of God, names of Jehovah, and I wanted to start with this one first. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a theme. Shepherding is a theme. If you take your Bibles, you don't need to turn there. I'll just mention to you that in the very beginning of the Bible, we have that God gave Adam a job. Adam was to be a tiller of the earth, and he was supposed to bring forth fruit, and he was a gardener, and he really wasn't working with the animals, but that was the first job. But only in chapter 4, we come across Abel's job, and what was Abel doing? He was a keeper of sheep, and sheep is an important thing. He didn't keep anything else. He kept sheep, and God points that out, and then shepherding and caring for sheep is a theme all the way through the entire Scriptures until we get to the very end. Even Christ is the great shepherd. And Peter writes to us at the end of chapter 5, in his first epistle, Peter says this. He says, when the great shepherd shall appear, that's the next event in our timetable. We're looking for Jesus Christ to come in the clouds to take us in the rapture. And it's what is he described as? The great shepherd. That means there is a theme about keeping sheep all the way through the Scriptures. Christ Himself describes Himself as, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And when Christ was born in Bethlehem, the announcement was not made to the shopkeepers or to the woodcarvers, to the carpenters or to the stonemasons. The announcement of Christ's birth came to whom? To shepherds. It is just amazing that there's this emphasis here all the way through. When Christ was talking with Peter after His resurrection, He's standing on the shores of Galilee, and He has a fire going, and He has some fish cooking, and He talks to Peter, and He says, do you love me? And Peter says, well, of course I love you. Kinda. Because he uses a different word for love than Christ used. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Very sacrificially, with an agape love. And Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. I really am cool with you, man. We're good, right? And Peter says to Christ tells Peter this very distinctly, feed my sheep. Well, of course, Lord, I do love you. And he says, feed my lambs. What is this emphasis that God speaks about shepherding and sheep that we have to be honest with ourselves? We don't really completely understand all of the contexts because we don't understand shepherding. I wish I knew more. I wish I could experience that. But here we have the Lord is my shepherd. It's a very intimate picture of a relationship that God has with His people. And God's heartbreak and His burden that He has when we wander astray. In the Old Testament, we come across several places where Israel has turned their back on God. It's just not cool to follow him anymore. It's cramping my lifestyle. I'm going to go do what I want to do, free from restrictions. I'm just going to go live the way I want to live. And Israel goes ahead and does that, and they walk further and further away from God. And God creates this beautiful picture, and he says in 2 Chronicles 18, he says, "Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd." Ezekiel 34, the Bible says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." The burden of God's heart for his people is that it's a cry of desperation. My people are wandering away from me. What a theme throughout Scripture. And God loves to call himself the shepherd. Psalm 23, the best known passage by all men throughout all of history, is written by a shepherd. And David has something for us to learn in this passage. Let's ask the Lord to bless and help us. Father, we ask you that you would give us insight and wisdom right now. We pray your Holy Spirit would guide our hearts into your word, that you would speak and that you'd bless. We thank you and pray for your blessing to teach us these things. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much to share about Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi is the Lord, Jehovah God. Is my shepherd. These names of God are amazing, and I want to focus just a few minutes today on this shepherding of the sheep, because we can learn so much more about our Jehovah God. He's not just a God who's aloof, off in heaven, sitting on a throne, who has just really, he intervenes and answers prayer when there's an emergency, but he's not in touch with us. That is not my Jehovah God. The God of all creation that created the mountains and the seas, that can level the mountains at any time, that great Jehovah is also my shepherd. He's going to care for me. But I want to share some interesting thoughts about shepherding with you today. And I think from it you can learn a few things about your own personal leadership. Some of you are leaders, managers. Some of you have gone to warrior leadership courses, and you've gone through training, and you've served. And you may be fantastic middle management, or you might be upper management. There's a lot of jokes about that. But regardless, there's still more we can learn from the Word of God. Amen. And in this, God's going to teach us some wonderful things about shepherding he wants us to know. Let me just say this. Shepherding is leading. Shepherding is leading. And leading is feeding. So let's look at a few things here. David knew one thing about sheep. He knew many things, but one of the things he knew about sheep was this. Sheep have no sense of direction. They're really not born with a compass. Now, some of you have a compass. I knew a lady, and she lived in Pensacola, and she had an amazing compass that was programmed to her into her brain. I was almost ready to joke with her and say, "You're like a bird. Birds just know where to go. I mean, they migrate across thousands of miles." But I stopped short of calling her bird brain. She told me this. She said, "Take me into a store, take me into the mall, have me walk around all the stores." And she said, "At any time you tell me where north is, I can tell you where north is." That's amazing. I have to climb a pine tree and look for moss. I mean, I don't know my way around, especially if I'm in a store. The only thing I'm really concerned about is, where's the exit? Just get me out of this store. I don't have a great sense of direction when I'm inside. Outside, yeah, it's a little bit easier. But sheep don't have any sense of direction. They are totally dependent on someone to lead them. And David knows this, and this leading, shepherding is leading. And God wants us to learn that this is preparation. Shepherding is preparation for leadership in life. What can we learn about shepherding if we're going to be a good leader? 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, also in time past when Saul was king over us, God refers to David and says, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel, as the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel. And the Hebrew word there is for shepherd. You will feed my people Israel. God says, David, you used to be the guy that was in the army and you led out the armies and brought them back in when Saul was the king. But now, David, you're the king and you are the one that's in charge of the army completely. At your will and at your word, the armies move and do their job. As a leader, God says, I put you in that position to feed my people. Isn't that an interesting verse? Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's see another one about David learned this while he was, he didn't learn leadership when he became king. He didn't learn leadership when he was in the army. David learned leadership when he was a shepherd. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's read these verses. This takes place when David has in his heart his desire to build the temple. And we learn some amazing things in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It came to pass when the king sat in his house, the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. I mean, David, if you want to build a nice, pretty place for the Ark of the Covenant to be, go build it. And then God speaks to Nathan. It came to pass, verse 4, that night the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt build me a house. Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? He's saying to David, I have not needed a house up until now. Why do you want to build me a house? Verse 6, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. And all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. David, I don't need a house, but I want you to remember one thing. You are just a simple shepherd, and I have raised you up to be the ruler. We're going to look at another verse in just a moment here, but keep that truth in your mind. And by the way, just on the side, very interesting thing. Do you know your prophecy? When Christ comes back and establishes his throne for 1,000 years, we are going to rule and reign with him. I trust that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that you're born again, and that you will not experience the tribulation, because when Christ comes back, we are raptured out of here and the 7-year tribulation begins. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't have to endure that. But we're with the Lord having the marriage supper of the Lamb, another sheep reference. And we're with the Lord for those 7 years. We come back and Christ establishes his kingdom and we will rule and reign with him. So where are you going to be a ruler? What part of the world?
Well, I'll be over Asia. I'll be over North Carolina.
I mean, really, literally, I'm not joking. Where would you be the ruler? And when I think about the mighty, wonderful people that have walked the earth with the Lord before me, I can't help but think that really the Lord is just going to give me, I will be Lord of the quadplex in some distant town from here. Have I really earned the right to have a role of significance during the 1,000-year reign? Wow. And boy, I get distracted. Let's get distracted together. Turn to Ezekiel 34. Turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel is just packed with a lot of prophecy for things to come, even for us. Ezekiel 34, look at verse 23 and 24. During this great reign of the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, and I'm going to back up to verse 22 just because you'll see this sheep reference. Therefore, will I save my flock? They shall no more be a prey. I will judge between cattle and cattle. I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Interesting. During this 1,000-year reign, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule over all the earth, but he has chosen David to once again be the king over Israel for that 1,000 years. Isn't that mind-blowing? What then will be my job? I hope that I can serve the Lord in a great way that brings great glory to God, but I don't know what it is. But David was a shepherd who learned how to lead from being a shepherd. He was a great leader, and God is going to use him again. Wow. So I take a couple steps back in my thinking and say, could I be a good shepherd? Could I be a good leader so that I can bring more glory to the Lord? So what are the Bible principles about shepherding? This is amazing. Let's look at another verse about David the shepherd. Turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 70. That's a long chapter, a long song. Psalm 78, verse 70. He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he, David, fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. David became a great leader because while he was a shepherd that lowly looked down upon job, he did that job with integrity. Don't ever consider your job as a worthless job, as a stepping stone to something greater. Whatever job you have, do it. No matter what anybody thinks about it as being a high class or low class job, you do your job with integrity in your heart, and you learn how to do it the very best with skillfulness in your hands. You will be becoming a great leader. No matter what it is, we always say, well, you know, it's just cleaning toilets or, you know, I had to do some work as a kid that I hated. Squashing potato bugs. Anybody ever squash potato bugs? Two? Okay, Danny, squashing potato bugs. Anybody else? Josiah, leadership is coming your way. Getting out there in that hot sun on your hands and knees, crawling through the potato patch, turning over every single leaf of every potato plant and finding those orangey eggs and then just squishing them, and it stinks and stains your hands. You got to get rid of them because they'll turn into potato bugs that eat the plant, and you got to get out there every single morning and do it. Man, they multiply. You're learning leadership. If you do it with integrity of heart and skillfulness of your hands. Shepherding. And here, God says, I took you from that to make you a leader. Now, another thing that he says here is, I took you from following the ewes, great with young. This is going to blow your mind. Because not only is a shepherd just someone who sits on the hillside, bored to death, watching a bunch of dumb sheep, I think he was busy working hard the whole time, because caring for sheep is a big time job. Now, I don't know much about sheep, but I know that I had to learn a little bit. And so let me give you a little bit of sheep 411. What do we know about sheep? They're essentially defenseless. There's a whole message there. They need help getting up. Did you know a sheep, when it gets down and it's on its side or back, it cannot roll over? And it's got the big coat of wool. Can imagine, you know, some of you, when it gets cold, I mean, like down to 45 degrees, you put on parkas and roll up and you're walking around like some mothers these days when they put their kids out to play in the snow. The kid's walking like this, you're like Michelin Man. And it's like, oh, he's gonna get cold. And so, you know, if you loosen up on him a little bit and let him run around, his blood temperature will get up and he'll be fine. Yeah, that'd be great. But, you know, he falls down, and here's this kid laying on the ground. I can't get up. And sheep are that way. And a shepherd will call that cast. When a sheep is cast, you have to go turn him over and help him up. And that's where we get the phrase, are you cast down? You need your shepherd to raise you back up. We know about sheep that they are not designed to carry burdens. That is not their purpose. And my great shepherd is hoping that someday maybe I can learn that. I was never intended to carry a burden on my shoulders, maybe in my heart, but not on my shoulders. My job is to continually put the burdens on my shepherd. Amen. Another thing about sheep that you might not know is they make bad choices. They make bad choices. They will see some dirty, filthy, contaminated water right in front of them, and they will drink that rather than 20 feet away, fresh, clean water. They won't go to it. Another thing about sheep is they cannot care for themselves when they're wounded. I've heard of dogs and other animals, they can be severely wounded, tears on in their flesh, and they'll go away and they'll hide underneath someplace and they'll lick their wounds, and they can be there for days or weeks, and then they'll come back and they have cared for themselves. Sheep cannot care for themselves when they're wounded. They need someone to care for them. Jesus is the good shepherd. Oh Lord, would you care for me? Shepherds are full of care. They lead with love. They lead with care. I have heard preachers say this, and they say, well, when a shepherd has a sheep that just keeps going astray, and it's just, he's got to leave the 99 and go get that one all the time, and he brings it back safely to the fold, comes, rejoice with me, I've found that which was lost. And then he goes off and wanders off into the thicket and near the edge, and over and over again, that a shepherd will just break his leg and keep him from wandering off, and will carry him close. And it's I was reading up from shepherds, and they said, that story is absolutely false. May sound good, may illustrate some kind of point you're trying to make about God's loving care, but shepherds don't do that. And so God is not going to intentionally harm you to keep you from wandering away. Aren't you glad? He's the good shepherd. It breaks his heart when we wander away, but he's always, always there to come and bring us back. Oh, that we would just learn not to wander away. So if you're a shepherd, you need to understand these things about the sheep, and that your job as a shepherd is very important. But you also need to know some very serious sheep issues. And they do have issues. One of them is their diet. You cannot let a sheep have the wrong kind of food. It can really hurt them. And so shepherds know this. Your sheep need to avoid brassicas. Oh my goodness, what's a brassica? Well, maybe your child is like this. A brassica is broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, turnips, radishes, Brussels sprouts, and mustards. They need to avoid nightshades. Nightshades are potatoes, tomatoes, eggplant, and peppers. They need to avoid avocados, rhubarb, and tons of other weeds and shrubs that are very, very toxic to their digestive system. And sheep will go right over there and start nibbling on them. Oh, I wonder what this weed is. Oh, it's rhubarb. It's pretty. I don't eat rhubarb leaves. My mother told me, you'll get sick. I eat the rhubarb stems. But sheep don't know. They'll just start munching away, and they can get very sick. The shepherd is constantly on guard. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Come over here. And he has to work in finding just the right place for them to get good grass. Because they're going to eat the wrong things. You have to be on guard. Sheep need care. Because their wool is constantly growing. It doesn't stop. They can have wool blindness. It starts to grow down over their eyes and they can't see and they can't get around. So David probably had a pair of some kind of shears with him. He had to trim away the wool from around their eyes. There's also hygienics issues if you're a shepherd. I mean, you also need to trim away wool from around the rear of the sheep. You may even need to dock the tail because there's a lot of mess that can get in there and that attracts flies and flies lay their eggs. And so a shepherd is constantly grabbing each sheep and inspecting it and seeing, okay, snip, 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 okay, I got to clean this out and caring for that sheep one right after the other. What a mess. They also have skin issues, and their skin can really bother them. They have scab, and they can get foot rot. And then, if you're a good shepherd, you're going to produce a great flock, and there has to be a lot of assistance with the whole birthing process. A shepherd doesn't just sit there and just watch a bunch of sheep on the hillside. They're busy working. It's a very tiring job. It's not a desirable job. We would say it's like a ditch digger today. Nobody likes to do that. But when time for lambing came along, if the ewe had actually been feeding too much, she might be a little bit full and a little bit bloated, and so her lambing process is going to be difficult. Sometimes you need to see when it's close to time, you pull the ewe aside and you put her separately in a fold and keep her there for a few days because she does better if she's got more of an empty stomach. But she at the same time needs to have enough strength and energy for the delivery process. So it's a fine balance watching and caring for this ewe and each one of them. And if you have multiple that are ready to lamb at the same time, then this is a lot of work. This is a lot of observation, a lot of care. The birthing may require pulling. How hard do you pull to deliver that lamb? And you've got to be careful. You need to make sure that there's proper nutrition and warm molasses and things like that to help the ewe because she is going to be exhausted. You need to have iodine on hand for the umbilical cord. You know, and some of these sheep can produce 22 lambs over the course of 9 years. We're talking about work, a lot of it. And then if the mama ewe is too exhausted and can go over and she just collapses, she doesn't realize that it's time to help her little one begin to connect with her, to bond with her. And especially if she has two, she'll only bond with one. And the rejected one is called a bummer. But you know, you can prevent that. You can work with that. And so that ewe needs special care. And the shepherd may take a lot of time to take that sheep and keep it in an isolated place or separated from the rest of the herd where they're pushing around and shoving and making noise and all panicking at the same time to bringing her to a place where she can be at peace, where she can have quietness and bond with her little one. And sometimes she won't even sniff them or look at them. And you might have to force and bring them together. And all of this is the work of the shepherd, bringing things together. Isn't it interesting how our good shepherd provides peace? And the lack of peace brings about a lot of bummer situations. And so David learned that music can bring about peace. I don't think he played music just because he was musically inclined. I think he did it with a purpose. That the music he provided was instrumental, no pun intended, instrumental in helping his flock. In fact, he might not have just been satisfied with one instrument, because, very interesting, Amos chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible specifically tells us that David invented instruments of music. Someone just didn't hand him something. He looked at the situation and said, I need music at this time. How can I provide some music? How can I help my flock to be at peace and still? Now, on many days, I'll come here to the church, and all of the cows are out here. And I learned from watching Westerns that if you sing or sing kind of melodic notes to them, they like that. And so I tried it, and I have done it many, many times. And I'll come out there, and I'll stand by the fence, and I'll go, here, cow, happy, happy cow, happy cow, happy cow, happy, happy cows. And they all come over there and listen to me. And they're like, this idiot's here again. Let's enjoy this. But using a melody, and they're not afraid. If I don't sing to them and I walk out there, they start walking away. I'm like, I'm a threat. But the melody, David knew what his sheep needed and met their needs no matter what it was. Even though it meant being up all night providing the lambing care, or all day long, it was self-sacrificial. It was a job other people didn't want. It was a job to look down on. If you're really poor and didn't have a lot of education, you had to be the shepherd. David said, I will do it with integrity of heart. I will do it with the skillfulness of my hands, and I will be the very best that there ever was, and I will lovingly care for those in my care. And God said, that made you prepare to be the best leader Israel ever saw. What can we learn from shepherding? What can we learn about caring for other people? A lot. We need to lead with care. We need to lead with love. Isaiah 40, the Bible says, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. But his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with him. Young. That's how God operates with us. Loving, tender care. There's so much more to be taught about this, but the time does not permit me. But I want you to listen closely to this verse in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. Here in the gospel, Jesus is coming along, and he notices the people Israel. And this is right before the feeding of the 5,000. We remember that story. Right before that, let me quote it to you. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion. That three words, moved with compassion, is one of my favorite Greek words. It's just one word. It expresses the whole innermost being, from the inner part of your digestive tract, that it is squeezed internally so that you just feel that pain down deep in your gut. Splock needs a mite. When Jesus saw the people as sheep that didn't have a shepherd, he was moved with compassion. And notice what he says. Listen closely. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. In the environment in which we live right now, God says, when he sees you in your plight, in your discouragement, in your problems, in your trials, no matter what it may be in your life that you are struggling with, God himself, our great shepherd, is moved internally. We do not serve a God who does not care. He loves us. He's moved with compassion. When you weep, he weeps. When you cry unto him, he hears you. He loves you. He is paying attention to every little problem with your skin. He's concerned about when you need to bond with somebody and there's rejection. He's concerned about all of these affairs of your life. He knows about it. He's moved with compassion, and his response is what? To teach you.
That's good.
Why is this the last place we turn when we're in trouble? Amen. God says, the answer to your issues and your problems is that we err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. We must turn to our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Rohi, my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. When David said that, boy, David knew how to shepherd, and he knew everything about shepherding. And he said, I know how desperately dependent these sheep are on me, and if I'm not there for them, they will suffer. And so David was able to say, Jehovah, Almighty God, is my shepherd. What an amazing thing. He leads us with care and with love, and he teaches us. But I want you to notice one thing, and we'll close with this last thought. The word shepherd is not only translated as shepherd or feeder throughout the Old Testament, but rohi means this. In a couple places, it's translated into English from Hebrew as, are you ready for this? Companion and friend. That caused me to think. Jesus said, in the New Testament, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. When I go out to the cows, they're curious, but they're not super thrilled. Like several generations back, we had an apple tree out here, and I would pick up all the apples off the ground and put them in buckets, and I would take them and I would dump them over the fence before the pond was here. And it got to be every time they saw my old white Tahoe pulling in, that the cows would come running. They knew it was apple time. And I would dump them at the apples and feed them, and I would sing to them, and they just knew something good was gonna come. And I'm not out there to say, come here, come here. Men's, we're not having a wing night, we're having steak night. No, I'm not going to deceive them. I'm not going to trick them. A good shepherd is going to care for them. A good shepherd's going to come in, and when they hear his voice, they'll come to him. Some people come to God because they have nowhere else to turn and they tried everything else first. Some people come to God only when they need major help. God says, oh, I would love for you to come when you hear my voice. Are you listening for the voice of God? My sheep. Tonight in the evening message, I'm going to be talking about life signs. How can you tell if someone's truly born again? We cannot see the soul. We cannot see in the inside. I encourage you to come out and learn about that. But one of the things that is an indicator of being a true child of God is that you have an ear for his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they, what, follow me. You see, God wants that intimate relationship. And in Psalm 100, verse 3, we usually sing or quote that around Thanksgiving time. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The word pasture there just doesn't mean a field with grass. We are his sheep, and we are the people, the sheep of his care program. Christ's shepherding. I'm in. I'm part of that. I want that. I don't want to be left out in the cold. I don't want to be hurting. I don't want to be bruised and not being cared for. I don't want to be struggling and all by myself in loneliness. I need the Lord. And so I hear his voice. I'm going to come. I want to be around him. I want his care. The closer I am to him, the more attention I'm going to get. even though he loves all of them. Companion, friend. You're not really going to develop a companionship or a friendship with someone that you don't spend time with. But the shepherd, that translation of that word as companion, friend, is amazing. Would to God we would live up to his desire in our hearts. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I, this friend, deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend.